Matthew 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Matthew 16, I'm reading verse 17 right now. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father, which is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And I tell you again, verse 18, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I, the Lord, will give you, Peter and your people, the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Jesus. Who do people say that I am? What is the gossip and the rumor and the propaganda that is going on outside of this building? What is the what are people saying? What word or what identity do they give me when they see me walk with you, when they see me talk to you, when they see me perform miracles, when they see me and I am not the first of my kind they have seen, but do they have a clarity so that they can distinguish me between me and the others? Who do people say that I am? Because if people don't know who I am, I don't have a problem with whatever they are saying out there. I don't really have a problem with what they are saying out there. Who do people say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say another kind of prophet. People have all kinds of thinking and understanding. All people have all kinds of pictures that they have formed in their head about the identity of Jesus. And that is what drives them into forming their religion. Because people only form a religion or a form of faith and belief according to who they think Jesus is. It is true that they are equaling or they are looking at what they do in relation to Christ. So that if they don't catch the full revelation of who Jesus is, they only walk by what they think he is. If they think he is John the Baptist, then they form a religion about that. They have a form of godliness because John the Baptist had a portion of the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean that he was Jesus. So, who do people say that I am? When you see different groups of people, there are those who look at God as if he is Jeremiah. And those who look at him as if he's John the Baptist. Those who look at him as if he is another Elijah. Or Elijah came back from heaven because we know that he was taken by a wild wind and the horses of fire. But now, because of their different ideologies and different understanding and the different quote-unquote revelations, they come and they look at Jesus according to the understanding. And for some reason, you can't move from them from there because that is their basis. That is their faith. That is their understanding. That is who they are. And Jesus did not settle there. When they reported to him the stuff that people have been saying out there and who they think that Jesus is, immediately, quickly, without paying attention or more attention to that conversation, he turned it right onto them and said, but what about you? What about you, my people? I've walked with you and you have seen me. You have seen him heal. You have seen me deliver. You have seen me cast out demons. You have seen me tested. You have seen everything. Now, here we are in Matthew 16. Who do you, my people, say that I am? Praise the name of Jesus. Because what concerns me I'm paraphrasing Jesus right now. What concerns me is what revelation do my people have about me? Do they know me? Do they have a revelation of me? Because what will determine our positioning as the church is our revelation of Christ. What will determine our authority is our standing as the church. What will determine the effectiveness of our voice in the society is how well we are grounded in the revelation of who Jesus is. Because if we still are confused like the world, then there will be no difference between us and them. Who do people say that I am? Good, leave them alone. That is their thinking, that is their propaganda, that is their ideology, that is their faith. But what about you? Do I have confidence in you? If I was to be taken to heaven today, would I be confident in my going that I have a people that have a revelation of Jesus and nothing moves them from there? Do I have a people that if they went out to the society, went out to the world, and faced those who think that Jesus is Jeremiah, that they would stand as an apologetic and say, I know who he is. I know Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. What about my people? Are you also flowing in the same waves as the world? Are you also confused like the world? Because the world makes decisions based on who they think I am. They make their laws based on who they think I am. They set priorities based on who they think I am. They conduct themselves in their private affairs based on who they think I am. I saw a clip on Facebook the other day. Somebody who is in the prostitution business fell in the hands of a man who is born again. She didn't know that was a customer, just a customer to her. And so she made herself and prepared herself for the customer who is coming to pick her up. And indeed so, she was picked up and she was given the money. And she got into the car and she was driven right into the house of this man. And the man is there getting disturbed, looking at this young lady, looking at this young lady. And the girl is wondering, you paid for 30 minutes. What are you still doing? What are you still doing? Your time will be over before you have 15 minutes. And the girl is like, huh? And she's worked up and the man began to hammer the gospel to this young 18-year-old girl. And she's wondering, what's wrong with you? Is this what you paid for? And so when the man kept talking to her, she said, God knows that I'm innocent. God knows I'm not a sinner. I know myself, and God knows me. And she's trying to justify herself because of who she thinks God is. She thinks, well, I'm justified. Why? Because, one, my dad left when I was a kid. Oh, I also have a son who is sick in the hospital. I have a hospital bill. Oh, and my mother threw me out of home. So I have to find money for myself. Nobody can hire me because I never graduated high school. So I don't even have a GED. And so I have to find a way to survive without stealing, without being a robber. So I am doing a perfect business and I'm smart for it. Now, how long more do you have? You still have 10 minutes. And the man is looking at the girl and she justifies herself. Why? Because she thinks, because she has made priorities and importance of her life based on who she thinks Jesus is. And the man is trying to tell the girl, no, it's not about who you think God is. God paid your debt. God paid your debt. There is a Jesus who can set you free and forgive you your sin and deliver you. It came out to be, that is by the way, so that I get done with that story, that this man was the father to the girl. And he had run away from his family a long time ago when this girl was here. But then the girl still had this name. So he went looking for his daughter and found that now he is born again. He has come to the Lord. He is looking for his children. And so he was surfing the the internet, and somewhere he saw a name. This looks like a Mudhami name. Well, that is me saying. This looks like a Mudhami name. So who is this? Who is this? What about her? Her history, her what? He said, this is her. So he went to get her. And so when the girl came and the man asked her, what is it that makes you do this? She said, I have a son and I have a debt of $15,000. And that is why I'm doing what I'm doing to pay. So I'm justified. I'm justified. The man said, give me a minute. I'll be back. I'll give you a tip. Guess what he went to do? He went and wrote a letter saying, my daughter, I'm so sorry. I am your father. And wrote a check of $15,000. Give it to the girl so she will stop what she is doing. What am I saying in the story? I just did that to finish it. But in the story, people have an understanding that they have made for themselves about who they think God is. And that is where they base their arguments. That's where they base their belief. That is where they base what they think. But Jesus was interested in knowing, what is the position of my people? Can I be confident that my people knows me? I do not know, but I want to imagine that Peter, my brother, must have had this revelation for a while. He had known from looking at him, healing Jairus' daughter, looking at him doing the stuff. He said, this must be the promised Messiah. But then he had never opened his mouth. So nobody knew what was within. But now an opportunity of challenge came, and Jesus is saying, tell me, you my people, all of you, does any one of you serve me with an understanding? Should the day of confrontation come when you have to speak concerning your faith, can you stand on your two feet and say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. I know his power. I know his person. I know his presence. I know him. Yes, I do. And even if anybody were to cut me into pieces, I would still stand with the witness and the testimony of Jesus, because I know him. Hallelujah. And I want to bring it to attention tonight that we are coming as a church to that place where now questions will be asked. Who do you say the Son of Man is? Who is Jesus to you? Who is the Son of God to you? What is your stand about the Messiah? What is your witness about the Messiah? What is your understanding? What is it that you can live for in Christ? Not just die for, live for. Because it's harder to live than to die. Because you die, you're gone. But you live, you have to live today and to live tomorrow and to produce the proof that Jesus is the Christ. My God. He said, who do you, can I know? Let me know from you. How do I help you? Do you have an understanding? Do you serve me like the world? Do you serve me because of what you saw, or because of what you formed in your mind, or because you have seen me do miracles? What is it that makes you follow me? What is it that pulled you to me? Is it the miracles I do? Is it the bread that I give? Is it the people that I raise from the dead? Is it because it feels more comfortable around me? Do you have anything that has come to you in the course of time that validates your service to me? Who do you say that I am? And I thank God for Simon. Bible says Simon Peter stood up and looked at Jesus. He said, yes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the holy one. You are the sent one. You are the bread of heaven. You are the champion of glory. You are the Lord that sets us free. You are the Lamb of God that sets away and the sins of men. You are the one the church has been waiting for. You are the desire of nations. You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. You are the holy one. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. To God be the glory. Oh, it takes the revelation of Jesus to come up with such a statement. To say, I know. Paul said, I know. Just don't mess me up. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. I know it. And if you look at my back, I have the marks of Christ on me. I have been seeking him. He said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on. I've been pressing on to know him. I have been paying attention. I have been working extra hours. Why? To know him. And he said the reason is that I may know him. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. And know and be involved or be a partaker who join in the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be like him. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, Lord, give me a revelation of Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus, stand and say, that did not come from flesh and blood. No, that is nothing this world knows about. No, the world cannot give that. He said, Simon, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. No. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Flesh and blood, I'm saying again intentionally, did not reveal that to you. Flesh and blood did not have a part in this. Flesh and blood pokes its nose into revelations and into stuff that people run with sometimes, and they say that God and my heavenly Father has revealed, yet it is a revelation of flesh and blood. But the revelation of Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, can only come from my Father which is in heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. There is something that flesh does not reveal. There is stuff that the flesh cannot get there. There is stuff that flesh cannot understand. The revelation of Jesus can only come from heaven. Hallelujah. The Bible says that no one knows me but the Father, and no one knows the Father but I and those who I introduced to the Father, and nobody knows me apart from those the Father chooses to reveal. Praise the name of Jesus. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, those revelations of flesh and blood that find their penetration into the body of Christ, so that they will look like, my God, they will look like revelations of heaven. Today, today, we shut their mouth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we silence the revelations of flesh and blood. In the name of Jesus Christ, there are people who woke up one morning and said, God must have talked to me. And they began running. But God said to Jeremiah, leave them alone. I did not send them to you. I did not speak by them. They ran, but I did not send them. They speak, but I have not spoken by them. He is confirming that there's some revelation that are given by flesh and blood, and the people run with them as if heaven has spoken. But today, at a time when the church must make a demarcation between the world and themselves, we have to flow in the revelation of Jesus Christ that is given by our Father who is in heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. Put those hands together and celebrate He that is the champion of glory. Praise the name of Jesus. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. And now that I know that heaven, you remember at the day of baptism of Jesus, when he was being baptized, John said two important things. John said, I would not even have known him myself. Just so you know, this has nothing to do with flesh and blood. I would not have recognized him when he came in with the crowds. Isipokuwa, the one that sent me to go baptize told me, you see that one? You will see him when he comes. You see that one? Behold, he made the revelation of who Jesus was among the soldiers, among the priests, among the scribes, among the teachers of the law. Jesus was singled out by heaven so that John the Baptist can catch him in the crowd, because he would never have caught who it is at all unless heaven revealed. The one who sent me told me when I saw him, and I knew who he was. That's why I opened my mouth and I said, behold, the Son of Man, the Son of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of man. I would never have known it myself, because flesh and blood does not reveal Christ to men. Hallelujah. Oh, help us all, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. And when he came, just to confirm what it is that the one who sent me had told me. When he came to the waters, then I saw the Spirit of God come upon him in the form of a dove. And heaven opened. And the voice said, "This is my son." So heaven spoke about who he is. That is how I had the confidence to say, guess what? I baptize you with water and to repentance. But he was before me. And now he has come. I'm not even worthy to touch the thongs of his sandal. I'm not even worthy to do anything when he is here. Now he must increase. I must decrease. Praise the name of Jesus. Because he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of men. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to his name. Don't you love my Jesus? Somebody say, Lord, give me the revelation. Give me the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh my God, glory to God. And when Jesus was waiting, because the testimony of heaven had already been given, he was waiting for what we call the fullness of time, or the opportune moment when the earth will agree with heaven. Makunda Basha. When heaven, what heaven said, will be spoken by a mouth on this earth, so that when the two agree, oh my goodness, love and faithfulness will kiss each other. Oh my goodness. And when this revelation is announced on this earth, then I can proclaim my mission and go right ahead and do it, because heaven and earth are in agreement of what I came to do. My God, praise the name of Jesus. So immediately he had, oh my God, yes, yes, the earth. Through the mouth and the confession of the sons of God. What does Romans say? That the creation has been waiting in eager expectation for the revelation of the sons of God. Why? Because when the sons of God begin to walk in revelation of Christ, they are unstoppable. Glory to Jesus. They are unstoppable. And I will show you in three different ways that Jesus spoke at that time. Praise the name of Jesus. Immediately the earth confessed through the mouth of Simon Peter. Immediately Jesus said, "Peter, from now, you are Peter. Simon is gone." The name Simon, those who are in Virginia had it. The name Simon means what? One that is swayed, like a reed that is swayed by the wind. You remember? Simon Bevy explaining that. You remember that? And he said, I'm Simon, but you know what? I'm delivered. Praise the name of Jesus. That is what the name Simon means. He said, just because you received divine revelation, I will ground you, Peter. You will no longer be swayed by winds of doctrine. You will not anymore be weak and swayed all over the place. Today, you are the rock, you are Peter. I ground you. I give you a standing, a positioning. Hallelujah. Peter, from now on, you are a pillar. Now, because I have grounded you, you are immovable. What that means, I can trust what I have put in you and what my Heavenly Father has put in you to be a pillar for the church. Praise the name of Jesus. He grounded him at that time. You are immovable. That's number one. Number two, he said to Peter, upon this revelation, upon this rock, not Peter, you, Peter, have grounded you. Upon this revelation that the earth has declared, given by heaven and in agreement with heaven, seeing that heaven and earth has come to touch one another in agreement, seeing that what heaven said, the earth has said, seeing the declarations of heaven has been pronounced on the earth, now I can build my church. Because now my church can stand. Now there is a grounding upon which I will build my church. Now I have a foundation. And what I build. Peter, you, Simon, you are Peter. That's about as an individual, I have established you. I have confirmed you. I have given you stability so you can stand as an individual. But corporately, I come on the foundation, remember Matthew 7, that the wise builder, the reason why he is called wise is because he dug down deep. And he's put his building on the foundation of the rock. Jesus had to wait for that foundation to lay his church because he knew about today. Glory to God. He knew about 2015 and the stuff that will be out there. Who do people say I am? He knew what will be said. He knew the stuff that will be passed by the lawmakers. He knew the new wickedness that will be formulated by those who will be alive in the day. Before they ever laid their pens down to begin to pass laws, Jesus had already established a foundation upon which to build his church. And he made the declaration that is alive today. And the gates of hell will never, 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 never overcome it. Hallelujah! The gates of hell will never overcome the work that I began. He who began the good work is faithful. He said, I know the gates of hell. I know there will be in a concession of effort. They will come against the church. But the work that I have established here is not what you just see with your eyes. It is the work that is born out of divine revelation. It is work that is established in its proper time. It is a work that is established upon the foundation. Isaiah 28 verse 16 to 18. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested cornerstone for a sure foundation. Upon this foundation, I and not another will build my church so that in 2016 and 2015, the church will still be standing. The church will still be standing. The strength that I have bestowed upon my church is much greater, indeed not comparable with the efforts and the purpose of hell. Hell indeed will raise its wings against the church. Hell will try. The gates of hell will begin to push it. To see how strong this work is. Oh my God. I love you, but I pity you. The gates of hell will try. They will come against the church with such a force, with such a tenacity. The church will look like, but guess what? Only this can move, but this is crowded, it's crowded, it's crowded. Hallelujah! The gates of hell will never prevail. And I bring this announcement by the grace of God. The church that Jesus built, the church whose foundation Jesus laid upon the revelation of who he is as Christ, the Messiah, is still standing. And no matter how many forces of hell will rise against that church, I say this day, they will never prevail. They will never prevail. Let them invent a new evil. It will not prevail against the church. But the church must do something. What Peter did. Open your mouth. Make the confession. You are the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the Christ. This would not have been done at that time. If Peter kept quiet, he may have had the revelation in his head or in his heart or in his belly or in his spirit. But until he said it, until he opened his mouth and confessed it, Jesus was not going to do something. He waited until the earth said it. You may be having the next answer that we need for the direction of the church of Jesus concerning the gates of hell that are attacking the church. But until you open your mouth and make confession, then we will be sitting there waiting for you to say something. I pray that our voice as a church will be heard. And it will be heard because of what I'm going to say next. And I, Jesus, saying, verse 18, I will give you. I will not just ground you. I will not just establish you. Peter and all of you, because now I am building my church, I am not leaving my people helpless. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I have given you the authority that is mine. I have given you the strength that is mine. Now you have become partners with me. You have become people that can be entrusted. Oh my God. When you are still being swayed, Peter, a few things I could not trust you with. But because you confessed and now you're standing and I have grounded you, now I can trust you. Now I give you the keys of the kingdom. And this is what the power in the key is about. Not just one key. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. There are many. Whatsoever thing you loose on this earth, it is loosed in heaven. Whatever thing you bind on this earth, it is bound in heaven. I have bestowed upon my church such an authority divine. My own mouth, it's like I've given you my signet ring, that whatever decisions that you make, heaven will rubber stamp them. Whatever declarations you make, heaven agrees with it. They did not say, the word did not say what you bind in heaven is bound on earth. No, he said whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Heaven is ready to work with you only if you take these keys and make use of them. I have given you, because I have grounded you, because I am building you, I am a builder. Don't worry about the number of pieces that are in your life, because sometimes we look at our broken pieces. We look at the shambles in our lives. We look at the discouragements that are attacking us on all kinds of directions. And we feel like we are incapable of handling the keys of the kingdom. But God is committing himself to us as a builder. He says, I will build my church. Who is my church? Don't know who my church is, he said, know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord and that the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you? So when I say I'll build my church, I'm not saying I will build walls of a building. I am saying I will pick up my people and I will put them together. I will take broken pieces and I will put and sort them and put them together. And what was broken, I will make it complete. What was in shambles, I will make it complete. What was lacking direction, I will give it direction. What did not have hope, I will give it hope. What did not have confidence, I will give it confidence. What was crying day and night, I will restore joy to it. I will build my church. What was weak, I will make it strong. What was wounded, I will heal it. What was in disarray, I will put it back in order. I will build my church. Why? Because God wants us to walk in the confidence of making use of the keys of the kingdom. Because guess what? We look at these keys and say, oh no. Oh no, I'm not qualified. Oh no, this is for so and so. This is for so and so. Oh, the apostles can do that work. Oh, this is for pastors. Oh, this is for leaders. Oh, this is for, did you know how many of them are walking in broken pieces right now? Did you know how many of them are in such terrible battles that you would wish that you didn't even know what they are going through? Did you know that in the positioning where you are, you may feel weak, but the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong, not because of your ability, but let him receive the strength of the Lord. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord, not by the Lord. In the Lord. As long as you're in the Lord, there is a strength that is given to everyone that is weak. That's why he says, let the weak say, I am strong. And I pray that tonight, as we wind up, somebody will feel Not fear, really. Not fear. I take that word away. Somebody will be confident and believe that God has given you the keys of the kingdom. It doesn't matter how many broken pieces you are looking at when you look at yourself in the mirror. Because some of us are looking at ourselves in the mirror and say, oh God, I don't qualify. Oh God, not me. Oh God, not now. Oh God, what about? What will people say? What will people think? What will I be like? What about the people who know me? What about the people? What about those who saw me? What about those who know a few things about me? What about? And then you disqualify yourself for the divine authority that is given to you. And I ask that tonight in the name of Jesus, bring this broken pieces to the Lord. Tonight he says, I'm a builder. Peter, I will build my church. I will build my church. I will bring together what is lacking. I will beautify what is ugly. I will turn back to me what is straying. I will bring it together. It doesn't matter whether we are innocent or guilty, whether we have done stuff that we ourselves led ourselves to sin. It doesn't matter that we listened to the enemy at one point. It doesn't matter that we fell in certain kind of temptations at one time. He still says, Peter, upon this rock, upon this revelation, I am a builder. I will build my church. I will build my church. Praise the name of the Lord. And the reason why I'm building my church is because I know that hell has his eye against the church, and the accuser of brethren is looking for any opportunity to disqualify and discredit the brethren. But Peter, don't worry about it. I'm building my church. I'm building my church. I am building my church. I'm bringing my people together. I'm strengthening my church. I'm strengthening my body. I'm strengthening my members of my body. I'm bringing every bone to its place. I'm bringing every ligament and every piece in its rightful place, because the church I'm building, that is one that will not be overtaken or defeated by the gates of hell. I want to commit the keys of the kingdom to my people. I want them to know that divine authority is their inheritance. I want them to know that divine authority is their portion. I want them to know that they are my representatives on this earth. I want them to know that I'm backing them up. Jesus, help us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I give you the keys of the kingdom. Don't be afraid to bind on this earth, because what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you lose on this earth is loosed in heaven. The Bible tells me that when Esther was given authority and Mordecai was given the signet ring of the king, when it was taken away from Naaman, they were told, I have given you permission. Go make laws. Go devise other laws. Make laws according to how you want things to be. Praise the name of Jesus. You don't have to live on what Haman did and the plots that Haman did. I have given you permission, because tables have turned. I have given you the permission. Go rewrite the law. Go rewrite the law. Touch somebody. Tell them, we have the authority. Touch somebody for me, my brother. Oh my God, somebody is just there looking at me. I said, touch somebody. Tell them, we have the authority to bind and to loose. Praise the name of Jesus. And I want to ask that tonight, in the name of Jesus, ask somebody standing on your feet, asking the Lord, give me the revelation of heaven. Give me and build this body. Build me up, Lord. Build the pieces. Bring them together. You said you will build your church. I don't know what it is in you that needs to be built up, what needs to be brought together, what the Lord needs to clarify and straighten out and bring together, what the Lord needs to forgive in your life so that you're free to take the keys of the kingdom and begin to use them. I don't know how many broken pieces are defining what your life is. And you're looking into your life saying, oh my God, I am disqualified to go to the next step, to take the keys of the kingdom. But right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, build me up, oh Lord. Build me up. There's one singer who said, Lord, pick me up. Pick me up, oh Lord. Wash the dust off my feet and show me where I belong. Why don't you pick me up, Lord? Why don't you put my pieces back together? And I must announce, I'm not preaching because I'm the best of all. My God, I have been praying this week, Lord, bring the pieces together. Bring the pieces together. Oh God, fasten them together. Make me whole. make me whole. Give me the grace to take the next step, to make use of the keys of the kingdom that you have given us. Father, help us tonight. Won't you open your mouth and begin to ask the Lord, bring the pieces together. Patch them together, Lord, in my life. Patch them together. You are a builder. You are a builder. Build me up, oh God.